we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Hello, our wonderful, wonderful audience. This is Peter Breggin, psychiatrist. This is Ginger Breggin. I'm introducing you now.
Hi, everyone.
Who is just an amazing person, a researcher, a writer. And you're listening to America Out Loud Pulse. America Out Loud is, I think, the best platform right now out there for a really consistent, organized presentation of freedom in general and freedom health. And our show on America Out Loud Pulse is a part of a series that's on America Out Loud every 5 p.m. And we just have this Thursday slot, but you can hear Peter McCullough, and you can hear Malcolm, who is the person who owns and does this wonderful program, and other really great people. It's also got great columns, and Ginger and I do a column pretty much on a weekly basis here. Today we have a man after our own heart that we're going to be interviewing. His name is Jason Dean. He's not somebody we know well, and I have a feeling we're going to want to know him weller and weller as time goes on. He is working a lot over the years on what he says is calling out medical and pharma cartels. By other names and words, of course, the Breggins have been doing that for 40 years, and I've been doing it for about 65 or 70, something like that. And this is just so important. There's nothing more important right now because these medical cartels are the cutting edge of totalitarianism. It's their chosen weapon against us right now, and it's the one that's working for them. He himself is actually a clinician, and he deals with chronic health issues. He and his wife operate Palmer Natural Health, the largest nutrition and chiropractic office in the world. They use whole foods, they use quantum nutrition, and he can tell you more about that. I have worked with many people in the chiropractic profession over the years. They're often among the most enlightened and thoughtful people in health care. He's also, and I think he could probably just go ahead and tell us about this, the creator and host of BraveTV.com and some other things. The named topic for today is going to be transhumanism. But this man has broad interests, as Ginger and I do, and I think we'll be going in a lot of interesting directions for you. Ginger, any thoughts?
Nope, but I'm very interested in diving into transhumanism. I don't think we've done a show yet for the Pulse on that particular topic. And it's so important. One of the things, Jason, that I've been observing is how much Peter has been opposing what we now can identify as early transhumanist directions and experiments in the arena of ECT, that shock treatment, in the arena of the over-drugging and the chemical drugging of individuals to affect them emotionally and mentally and cognitively.
And especially psychosurgery.
And psychosurgery.
You pointed that out to me before I even realized it.
Right.
Because that's just directly intervening in the brain to mutilate it to make you different. Biologically, that is transhumanism.
So back then, it was very gross kinds of open up the brain and or drill a hole and do something or stick something into the brain, all very gross kinds of attempts to manipulate a human being. But it's gotten very much sophisticated since then, I noticed in looking at your briefing sheet. So we'd like to turn it over to you and hear about where transhumanism has gone, where it's going.
Well, thank you for having me. First of all, both of you are obviously leaders in this, and it's interesting. You said you've been doing this for so long, and usually when I'm on podcasts or even doing my own show, a lot of people have never heard of what's going on. They've never heard of whether it's a transhumanism. They've never heard of the vaccine problem. They've never heard of the psychotropic drug problem or just any pain drugs, whatever. And, you know, a lot of people today are just waking up to this, especially the last couple of years with the COVID bioweapon. And so I always say, I did not think of this first. I stand on the shoulders of legends. And obviously you two have been doing this for a lot longer than I have been. And there was people before that, but it's more of, we now are in a new media situation. So people are waking up to the last couple of years, the fact that, it took Donald Trump, I guess, to expose the thing called fake news. And people are realizing that really it is fake news. And so this stuff is finally coming to surface. We're finally, you know, for lack of a better word, shining a light on it. But I've been in the space of, I'm a doctor of chiropractic, and I do nutritional work, which I do a lot of it. And, you know, the thing that we see the most often, obviously adults have problems, they have healthcare issues, but what we see the most often is kids coming in, because the kids, you know, have been vaccinated from a very early age. So they're being pumped full of chemicals, metals, et cetera. And parasites, the big one that I deal with. But as you're watching this, you know, go on in the last couple of years, obviously with the start of COVID, the World Economic Forum and the new quote unquote enemy has been brought up. And as you study into it and you look deeper into it, I was actually studying nanotechnology before 2020. And, you know, as I studied it, I thought it was interesting. But at the time, you know, just kind of like a new world order, I have tons of books on a new world order. So I was reading about it, but, you know, we were the crazy ones, because like no one's like, there's no new world order. Just like, you know, I have books that talk about chipping people, you know, chipping them to enslave them for money and finance and, you know, just everything in general. And so it was crazy talk before, but now it's like right out in the open. And so all this nanotechnology and everything that we studied before is now here. It's just in a little different form than we expected it to be in, or we, you know, they're going to do chipping, but they're chipping people without people even knowing. I mean, you know, the COVID bioweapon is one thing, but I go back to the kids because, you know, I'm a young age of 45 right now, which I'm not really sure where the last 10 or 20 years kind of went, because it goes so fast from 20 to 30 to 40. And I have a 9-year-old daughter. And so I grew up in a very conservative household. You know, one side of the family had some problems. The other side of the family also had problems, but like it was kind of, you know, that dual reality, but raised correctly, raised well, and obviously taking care of kids. And so I'm obviously helping take care of kids now, but I grew up going outside, right? I grew up going outside and running around. You weren't allowed to come back in until, you know, dinner or lunch or whatever it was, versus today I go out into my waiting room I have a physical office as well as I do the online world. And no matter where you go, if it's in my office, you go to a restaurant, you go out in the public where there's, you know, grocery store, it does not matter. The kids aren't playing. Now it's a streaming video game. Now it's a cell phone in their face. It's a tablet in their face. I've been traveling a lot lately, so I'll be in an airport waiting for a flight, and kids can't even wait the 30 minutes to get, you know, like my daughter will sit there and read a book because we've trained her, we've programmed her to read, to, you know, study, to look things up, et cetera. But then, you know, we're waiting 20, 30 minutes for a flight to show up, and these kids can't go without a tablet, or they're throwing a tantrum because you're eating Doritos and everything else, right? They're eating terrible food. They're all vaccinated, et cetera. And so as I dove deeper, that's of course, obviously the start of the problem, but now we're into technology. And so this technology thing, if you actually go study, and I tell everybody this before, when anyone listens to me or sees a show, I never want anybody to take me or what I say is fact. What I want you to do is take what I say and then go look it up for yourself, because it's not, I don't want to be the blog guy. I don't want somebody like, oh, well, he said so. No, I want you to go look at it, because once you see the information and knowledge for yourself, you then have to become responsible for it. That means I'm still being responsible by doing what I have to do, but I don't need you to be entertained by what I say. I need you to then go study it, because then you need to start talking to people. You need to tell somebody else that this is how we actually spread this. And, you know, we talked about transhumanism before we started here. And I think there's a problem in the fact that people aren't looking at it, because when you say transhumanism, everyone thinks of a robot, right? And we think that robots, they think when we say that, that robots are going to be walking in the sidewalk tomorrow, which would be kind of scary, obviously, actually, because we're not used to that. But that's not really what's going to happen. This is the boil the frog example. So you throw a boiling frog into boiling, or throw a frog into boiling hot water. The frog jumps out because it's going to die. So you, but if you put the frog in and then you slowly raise the temperature over time, the frog is dead before the frog knows it. So now we have a COVID shot into people. We have 74 plus vaccines into people. We have medications into people, like with heavy metals, with nanometals, which is going into the body. So over a period of time, they didn't need to turn us into robots like overnight. They started adding the heavy metals, the nanometals to us. Well, now you hear, you see the World Economic Forum agenda, and they're talking about the Internet of Bodies. You have Elon Musk talking about Neuralink to actually plug into your head. You have Ray Kurzweil and Neil deGrasse Tyson on YouTube talking about having enough nanobots and put into a body that go to the brain that you can then connect people to the cloud. That's not a conspiracy anymore. They're openly saying it, right? They're absolutely. And now the more and more technology we get our kids on, I don't know if you've heard of this term. It's called Teslaphoresis.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So Teslaphoresis, unfortunately, they use Tesla's, like, you know, good name, but it's Teslaphoresis. So you can go to YouTube, Rice University, Michigan State University, look that up. They actually take nanoparticles and nanobots, and very fine, very small. And what they do is they have gotten them to self-organize. And then you can actually pass electricity through them, not only right next to you, but you can do it from a distance. So now if you get enough people of the public with nanotechnology in their body, and then you have 5G, 6G, which is known military technology, military weapon technology, you could control people from a distance. And people say to me, that's crazy talk. Okay, well, you have a radio. I mean, old school, if you take out an old school radio with an antenna on it, you turn it on. Well, how are you hearing that, or how are you listening to it? Well, it's a radio, it just works. No, that antenna is metal. That antenna is picking up a frequency from a tower somewhere. Your cell phone is on, you're watching a live stream from, you know, across the world, and there's only a few second delay. How are you watching? It's not plugged in, it's a frequency. So at the end of the day, they can turn you into a robot, human form, and they can control you from an actual distance, which sounds scary. But that's absolutely where this is going to. This is where they're trying to go to, I should say. So that's where that's the deep road that we're traveling right now. And I did not expect several. I mean, let's say it's at least 100 million. It could be 200 million based on what they're saying, but we know they lie about the numbers. So we're saying, let's say somewhere between 100 and 200 million Americans willingly got themselves pumped full of this start of nanotechnology. Now the flu shot is nanotechnology, it's mRNA as well, right? So they've been pumped with this. They don't know what's in it. We, none of us fully know what's in it, but we know that there's definitely nanoparticles in it. We know there's mRNA DNA changing technology. And so this is no longer the conspiracy. This is actually happening. And they're pushing us toward this, you know, this dystopian future. And I'm all about technology. I got a cell phone here. You know, it's what do you use it for? Do you use it for good or bad, right? But when you start putting this technology in somebody's bloodstream and it goes to their brain, you're not in control of your system anymore. You're not in control of your body anymore. And on top of that, that is patented technology. So if you went before a court of law, you technically do not own yourself anymore if you have this stuff in you, because it's been patented. which is a very, very deep, deep rabbit hole that people don't fully understand. But, you know, if we're talking about patents, you know, there's a thing there.
I haven't kept up with the flu shots. You mentioned that they are using the nanotechnology now. Can you share your information on that with us?
On the mRNA, you mean, Peter?
Well, yeah. I'm not sure what he's saying.
Yeah. So actually, I went to Tulsa probably about 3 weeks ago or so. And I have also found out that many Americans who claim they have not taken the mRNA bioweapon have not told the truth about it, because I'll go and be in a group and then I'll come back and not feel so great. And I'm pretty healthy overall. I came back from Tulsa, like just felt terrible. And my wife was testing me. We were doing the kinesiology stuff that we do. And she's like, you're testing for radiation. You're testing for some viral exosome stuff in you, which is obviously not normal. So I just went and looked, because I actually got in the plane. I remember someone bragging next to me, not right next to me, but like the aisle over, bragging about getting a COVID, flu, and shingles vaccine all in the same day. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh my God, like I hope you make us through this flight, because I don't feel it. I don't want to do CPR on you, right? Like, not that I don't want to help people, but like I'm kind of tapped out from this whole thing. And so I go, I bet I was shedded on. So then I just go do my research, because I'm like, okay, let's figure out like what happened. Cause you know, I don't study it all the time. And so all I did was I started typing in mRNA with flu. And I don't remember this happening. I don't remember I was hearing about this. I don't remember how, I don't know if anyone else is looking at this, but they used a quadrivalent vaccine. So you have four different variants in it. And there's actually PubMed journal articles showing they used mRNA technology in the flu vaccine this year.
In the most recent one.
Yep. So now you have an mRNA flu shot that's going out to everybody with a COVID mRNA shot with it. And sometimes they're combining the two shots.
Yeah, they've been combined is what I read.
That's insane. I mean, you know, I know you guys have had your stuff lately with the founder of all this stuff. But at the end of the day, we know mRNA does not work. It does work. It kills people. That's what it does. Like they did the animal study, from what I recall reading, killed everything, right? There is no human study because they pushed it so fast, because we are the human study. So now we have two vaccines, obviously a complete bioweapon, the two, which is a flu shot, which we know so many people have been, flu shot. I mean, everyone, I mean, I shouldn't say everyone, because obviously I don't, but like there are a giant chunk or percentage of Americans get the flu shot every year because they just think it works, right? Now they took the mRNA. They didn't even know. They weren't even told about it. Like there's no one in the news out there talking about mRNA flu shots.
That's right. It's just called a flu shot.
That's right.
And yet every year the flu shot is changed because they use new strains and different strains of the flu. And now This year they also decided to do the mRNA technology with the flu shot.
And Then that would have been passed by the FDA, because they're saying they're now proving the platform.
Exactly.
Yeah, so how did they get that passed is another question, because if we're under emergency authorization for the other one and there's no actual approved, how did they pass that one? When did that get that pushed through? How did they do it? And you know, I can connect this to, you were talking about basically electroshock therapy, other different things that they've used behind the scenes back in the day. You know, no one's going to show up. I mean, it still happens, but people are not going to technically volunteer themselves to have their brain cut into anymore. Obviously, that's considered barbaric. It's insane. We don't do it. Okay, but you know what they will do? They will get a shot put in them if someone tells them to do it, especially a Fauci or whatever else. Now, here's the real problem. When I was looking through, it's been a while, so I'd have to go look up the words again. But when I was looking through the original science that they put out regarding the COVID shot, and there was a tremendous amount of basically labels, diagnosis, whatever you want to call it, and side effects that would come from it. Well, one of the things was it technically would go in and it could clip neurons in the motor part of the brain. That's CRISPR technology. So you're technically talking about a lobotomy. I would call it a soft lobotomy, without someone knowing that's what happened. Because if you're clipping DNA of neurons,
that's very interesting. We're going to have to look at that because that particular piece we hadn't picked up on yet. So you're saying
I'll check on my papers as well, and I'll send you over what I have, because when I was reading through it, I was like, wait a second. Obviously, they're not going to call it that. But if you actually look at the science, you know, CRISPR technology goes in and snips.
Right. And you're saying that the papers were talking about clipping neurons in the brain.
Yeah. So I'm going to look that up for you and double check. It's been a while since I read it, but I will get that over to you. But
it'll be a nanolobotomy.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, exactly. But, and they did it without knowing it. They didn't have full information on something like that, obviously.
Wow. It's hard to keep up with this stuff. I'm so glad you're on. You're really up on this stuff and ahead of us on this particular area. And that's really good to have you on the air. Okay, we're going to take a break now. We'll be back very soon.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Well, here we are. We are back. Jason Dean is a very interesting man, folks, and we're picking up some new stuff and learning from him. He's going to share with us. Just to get people interested, we are working on a new book, and we are well into the new book, and it's going to expand on what we learned from the window of COVID-19 into so much more that we're now learning about control. And Dr. Dean has just brought up in the last segment what we're calling nanolobotomy. I did not know that there's evidence for these vaccines, the so-called vaccines. They're not, they're nanotechnology of a very complex kind. Actually modifying, clipping the DNA of the cells, and I wasn't aware of that. And of course, it does cross the blood-brain barrier. It was set up exactly to do that. They lied in the beginning and said it's just going to go in your arm, but they built in technology that enabled it to cross any cells in the body, and so
including the placenta to any unborn child that's being carried by the mother who was injected, as well as the blood-brain barrier to the brain.
And the nursing mother, too.
And the nursing mother, right. It comes through the breast milk. That's so important for people to understand.
Yeah, moms, don't allow your children to get this technology at school, or don't let yourself be forced. I mean, I honestly believe now would be better to change your whole lifestyle if you could and raise your children really on your own and get into some of these very, very good homeschooling programs there are. Your children won't be isolated in the latest kinds of homeschool. I mean, they'll have sports teams, they'll have art classes with kids, they'll have all kinds of other things, but they're done outside the school.
And outside the public school
system. Outside the public schools. Well, even the private school system, depending on what they're doing.
Oh, right.
We've become a fan of that, much to our surprise, like we've been surprised about so many things over the years. Let's go back now to Dr. Dean and what you're going to send us. That's going to be great. You send us some of that material you have. It's getting so complex out there that our guests are now performing new functions. They are sending us materials rather than us necessarily enlightening them about a lot of things.
I actually look for guests like that.
Yeah.
Can brief us.
Well, good work. Yeah. You struck gold again.
Thank you. Brother. There you go. The producer at work.
Yes.
Yeah. I joke with people. I said if anyone asks me what I do, I'm like, that's a hard question. I mean, yes. I mean, honestly, putting in like 100 hours a week because I'm a doctor, but then I have a podcast, family, other businesses, et cetera. And I I look at people and I go, how are you not getting something done? Well, because they're home watching Netflix and TV, because we don't have any of that stuff. And so it's around the clock studying, looking something up, reading, just trying to. Because we are at this point, we are the new media. You are the new media. We have to get this information out, because the more you wake up, the next person wakes up. It's sending out that essentially divine wave to everybody as fast as humanly possible. But it takes work. It takes research.
That's right. Listen, I think that one of the areas that I read in the briefing that I received about your work was the reporting on at least one mother who was actually experimenting with her child who had been labeled with various issues, I think autism. Mm-hmm. And she was actually doing, I think she called it enhancing technology on her young child in order to help the child compensate for his issues and actually even become perhaps better than normal. All of which is extremely alarming, because this involves, I'd like for you to explain the details of this. The reason I think it's important is because it shows the willingness of parents to go to any length to enhance the abilities of their children in ways that are going to, in my opinion, backfire in the future, or move us more quickly toward transhumanism. And also because this is the step-by-step frog in the pot process of getting the human fellowship used to being manipulated by technology to the point that we accept even more intrusive kinds of transhumanist changes. So tell us about what's actually already being done with children.
So children's a dicey one, because I think technology is amazing. Obviously you can overuse it. You can overuse anything, but I think everything in life is mostly a neutral thing. You use it for good or you can use it for bad. For example, I have an Oura ring. I had an Oura ring until I found out World Economic Forum was following it. So the World Economic Forum, is following a lot of these technical or digital devices, right? They're following the phones, they're following Fitbits, iWatches, Oura rings, et cetera. So now we're putting in kids' hands. Now, I actually just before Christmas, we did some studying. We found out Samsung was actually had built a watch for kids that connects up to their parents' phone. And so we went deeper, and come to find out, every single major company at this point has built a watch or a device that they can put on their kids, which then connects to their parents' phone. Now, obviously, that could be very interesting technology if we had a good, clean, quality world. Problem is, all those companies are tied to places like the World Economic Forum. They're listening to the voice. They can read the body a little bit. And what happens is, one of the things we came across was they're listening to tone of voice as well as just like volume and pitch. And then they can actually send, whether it's through YouTube or social media or any other places, they can send surveys to whoever owns that particular thing. And keep in mind, these kids are on tablets now, right? And these, I mean, we have kids on tablets who are 3, 2 years old. I mean, this is really young, right? So they can send surveys based on what they're hearing. So if someone sounds sad, someone sounds upset, you have a teenager who, you know, lost a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, and they're sad, like, welcome to life. Obviously things happen. Well, if this picks up on the fact that they're sad or upset, they're crying, they can actually send them direct surveys through social media, because obviously it's all connected. They'll answer that survey. Now, the World Economic Forum actually has a report out on mental health where they talk about, which you guys might find interesting. It talks about computational psychiatry. What they're going to do, or what they're doing, is they're going to get people on the devices. So they hear a tone of voice, they hear a sadness, they hear an anxiety, depression, whatever it may be. They're going to send surveys to them, questionnaires, games to them, that those kids or whoever, maybe even adults, will be able to put in how they're feeling, which then is going to help get a diagnosis to them without ever seeing another human to find out what might be going wrong with them. Now, keep in mind, behind the scenes, the Amazons, the Walmarts of the world, all these very big box stores, they're already working on drone technology, which I don't mind the drone, but they're working on technology where they already have pharmacies being set up online. So you take the doctor out of this whole thing, right? Now, I'm not saying there's obviously bad doctors out there too. There's also great doctors. But what happens when, with computational psychiatry, and by the way, the pharmaceutical companies are already admitting that they have pharmaceutical drugs with chips in them that will also monitor the person to make sure they're taking the right dose at the right time. It's connected to the phone. It actually goes in and embeds into the body. So now you have people self-diagnosing themselves based off a computer AI reading them. And then they fill out a survey, how they're feeling, whatever it may be. Then you have that connected to obviously Amazon, Walmart, et cetera, other ones as well. You will have at some point direct pharmaceutical drugs, psychotropic drugs, pain meds, et cetera, shipped right to the front door within probably a couple of days of the patient without them potentially ever even having to leave their house. At worst case scenario, they might do a, you know, quick visit on a Zoom meeting or something like that with somebody, but the doctor's being taken out of this. Now you have people literally self-prescribing themselves on something they have no concept about, because that's part of the metaverse. They're pulling people in to mental and physical enslavement through pharmaceuticals, but at a totally new level of pharmaceuticals. Like, now we're actually literally delivering this stuff right to their house, potentially without a doctor involved, right? Now you have a crazy, I mean, you talk about Brave New World.
I can add another level to this. And this is some research I'm doing at this point in time in regards to drones. And that is that there are already patents that have been put together and approved of drones that are drone systems of swarms that include the mother drone, so to speak, which is like the mothership that carries all the smaller drones. The largest drone carries the medium-sized delivery drones that are then deployed into the target area. And then they deploy tiny little gnat or mosquito-sized drones that can go and inject or drop transdermal, which are like skin connectivity patches on to people. And this whole concept is designed as a way of potentially delivering vaccines or other medications to rural areas who would not even be aware, those populations would not even be aware that they were being assaulted with various chemicals and other materials through this swarm technology, which is, I think that's one of the biggest make break points and one of the biggest things that we need to emphasize is what you describe is bad enough, and but you know, an individual is going to feel like, well, maybe that drug gets dropped off at my front door, but I don't have to take it.
Right.
That is not going to last very long. Believe me, we're going to have to take them. If we allow this technology to go forward without really protesting it and examining it, it's not going to be volunteer for very long. There are going to be ways that we get roped into this, just like we've been, so many of us, not me, but so many of us have been pressured into having to receive the vaccine because the mRNA vaccine because of work or other reasons. So it's really scary out there, folks.
I always sarcastically say or ask, are we having fun yet?
Yeah, right. It's going to get worse. If we don't as a population and a citizenry actually start saying no and right now and helping our families, our friends, our neighbors to begin to understand the larger threats out there, it's going to get a lot worse.
You're going to do a chapter for our new book on what you're talking about right now.
I am, huh? Yeah. Okay, you bet.
You absolutely
have. Oh, I know. It has to be done.
And you can get a little input for the chapter. And,
I will. I will be contacting Dr. Dean.
You can quote Dr. Dean and his research.
let me
say that you have to really look at this stuff. All of this is weaponry, and DARPA's got to have its hand. They do. The part of the Defense Department's got to have their hand in it. Yeah. And the thing we need to face is that our elites of the world, what we're now calling, Ginger and I, the Eastern and the Western empires, the Western empire being Bill Gates and the Klaus Schwab and the big bankers and the military industrial complex and all of that. And then the Eastern empire, which starts with Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party and all of that. And they are together happily making weaponry. And the weaponry ultimately is going to be against most of us, because this is an elite, and we're going to be seeing ourselves more and more being encompassed by totalitarian empire. And
there's another thing. Yes. And that is, there's another thing when we're 3 minutes from the break. And that is that there are already patents and plans and experiments being done to grow vaccines in foods.
Yes.
And so far, they're putting vaccines. This is, when I say that, what I actually mean is mRNA technology, the so-called vaccines. That is being already put into various foods. I don't know if any of it is on the market yet. I have not heard and confirmed that it's on the market, but lettuce, other vegetables, and it's being discussed to actually expand the food types outside of vegetables for this technology to be grown in.
And I can give you insight into that into the next segment, because it's a longer thing, but how they're using smart dust to do that in agriculture. And so that's absolutely the whole thing on that, that they're going into. Yeah. It's also involved with DARPA and NIH. It's along those lines, but it's even deeper.
Well, folks, stay tuned for the next segment. We'll be back with Jason Dean, who is an amazing researcher.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse. I'm Peter Bregan. I'm a psychiatrist. That makes me a doctor, an MD. And here's my wife, Ginger, who only has high intelligence going for her.
Hi, everybody.
And who's constantly stunning me with her medical knowledge. Let me tell you something embarrassing, folks. How'd you like to go through some of those darn pre-med courses, and then you go to medical school, then you get 4 years of advanced training, and then you marry someone who hasn't been through all of that, but when you get sick, she knows more about what's going on than you do, and who has a better facility at researching these areas in many ways than I do. I guess we're kind of a team. We're both good at it. So thank you, Ginger, for being my partner. And thank you, Jason Dean, for what you're contributing today. You had a place you wanted to pick up on.
Well, it was interesting because you guys mentioned DARPA a little bit, and then we talked about like agriculture and food, which is actually very interesting because I just did a segment this week on my show regarding Bill Gates. And this has been going on for some time. It's not new, but it popped up Twitter the other day, which is they've been actively vaccinating the cattle as well. So
I heard that. I heard that in Australia. Is it true here too?
They're doing it in the UK. They're doing it in Australia. I don't know if it's fully come over here yet, because obviously we're always the last to push back on something, but it's coming over here. It will. They'll try to get it over here. And honestly, that's, you're entering into, it's all scary from a standpoint of, you know, against all of our freedoms, liberties, but it's scary to a point because it's one thing to push away from taking an injection, right? Anybody can do that and you can be awake, but when you don't know it, or you do know it, and then all of a sudden now you're afraid of the food system. If you're an awake person, you're not afraid, but you know what I mean? You have to be alert to the food system. And good thing is, there's lots of good companies out there in the U.S. still doing organic, grass-fed, farm-raised animals, but that means they're going to try to take out the mass population, because we know, I mean, hey, I travel too, and every once in a while, you're going to get like a commercial steak, not that you want one, but if that happens, if I find out that they're doing that, I have to change a little bit of my lifestyle, because obviously I don't want to take that in. But if you alter the food system, you want to talk, now you're going to get the mass population at one time, pretty much everywhere, which is a big problem. But it's also interesting because Bill Gates, and this goes along with DARPA. So DARPA and the NIH are working with billions and billions and billions of dollars. They have the Brain Initiative going now. The Brain Initiative is where they're actually working on that nanotechnology, and they use smart dust. Now, when you hear the word smart dust, clearly it's not just dust. They have gotten down the ability to create antennas and basically microchips as small as dust. And then they put it in the air. So we're breathing it in. Obviously, we're consuming as you walk around. Yeah, it's already being done. I actually have studies I can send over to you on what that looks like. But keep in mind, Bill Gates has given funding, USAID program, like USAID, which you'd think USAID would be doing aid in the US, right? Like it's called USAID. Maybe we should keep the money here and actually give aid to our farmers and make our land great. No, they're working in Africa and other undeveloped countries. And they actually talk about where if you get enough of this dust in the air, smart dust, and the World Economic Forum is working also with USAID, you can now connect to this dust. Remember, this dust is not just dust. It now has essentially antenna technology. So now they can monitor a crop from a computer or a phone from a distance. So they're literally going to bring everything in under quote unquote surveillance, if that makes sense. I mean, Now they're going to, I mean, there's a website, which I can send you all the links afterwards, but
we would actually appreciate that.
Yeah.
And folks, we will try within a week to get some of this stuff up, maybe on a new section on our website.
In a column on America Out Loud. And with that, whatever we write on America Out Loud will go on our website too.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a website that I don't have it in front of me right now, but I'll find it. It's because I stumbled upon this when I was looking up and doing research on the video Bill Gates talking about vaccines in the cattle. They're also giving money, USAID's involved, with a dairy program over in the UK. When you go to the dairy program's website, dairy/cattle, right, is they actually, you tag a cow, right? If you ever go by like a pasture, the cows are tagged in the ear, so they know which number it is. Well, that tag, they're putting in wireless technology. So now they're tracking and following via cell phone, and they show it on their website, tracking all the cattle. Now, keep in mind, if you start vaccinating the cattle, and then you have nanotechnology in there, as well as tags, and you're following that wireless signal, between the smart dust and that, you have the ability to literally surveillance every basic living, for the most part, every living organism on the planet.
Whole ecologies, the entire
Absolutely.
Ecology.
Ecologies, because then if you start spreading this stuff on the soil, not to sound scary, but this is in chemtrails. I mean, you spread this hits the ground. You can monitor the soil. You can monitor the microbiome of the soil. You can monitor the insects. I mean, it's going to be it would be everywhere. That's where they're going with that. We talk about China being bad with their surveillance, right? We talk about their social credit system. We think that's bad. That's actually, I mean,
you. Oh my gosh, they're going to bypass that whole and bring it in.
I mean, you can fly to China right now and go on vacation in China. Like, as an American, not that I necessarily want to, but you can fly over there, go on a vacation, enjoy China, you know, go around, look at the culture and come back, right? So we know it's communist, but at the same time, you know, you can go over there and kind of like do some things and have fun and come back home. If everything is surveillanced, you've just taken China and you've multiplied that a million times.
Yeah. And it really all links to the nanotech. That's the linchpin, isn't it?
I have studies. I mean, I can circle this back around to Eugene Yu. Is the one, he's from China. He lives here. He is the one, he's connected to having the US voting computers in the servers in Wuhan, China.
Oh, how do you spell his last name?
Yu.
Yu.
Gene Yu. He was actually arrested. He has a DOJ article on him where he was arrested. So now he subverted the American elections because they have all the databases in the servers for our elections in China, which is obviously totally illegal. His wife, her name is Donna Wang, just how it sounds. She is, she works at Michigan State University. She also works with Merck. Her specialties are, and I can't make this up, cardiology, cardiovascular system, and nanotechnology. Isn't it interesting? We have a COVID bioweapon out there now that is causing myocarditis and cardiac arrest and death. She knows all about it, but no one's asking her any questions yet. She worked with Merck. She specializes in nanotechnology, and she is also in cardiovascular cardiology. I think she's a PhD. I don't remember if she's a medical doctor or not. And her husband is one of the ones who helped subvert and he was arrested by the DOJ this past year. So this all comes back to the nanotechnology. So it also all comes back to the very beginning of this show, which is how do you create a transhumanist society? You keep sprinkling smart dust and mRNA nanotechnology into the body and on the body. Next thing you know, you don't need a physical robot walking down the street to scare everybody. You don't need RoboCop. You have humans that have just turned into computers/robots. That's God. Transhumanism. You know, that's the thing. They put out this sci-fi image, like, you know, Elon Musk, we're going to make robots. And people get, oh my gosh, like, I can't imagine robots. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. Because you just think of robots walking around. But it's not. You become the robot. And then if you try to get sovereignty and freedom from that, and you go in front of a court of law, and they show that they have 100 plus different patents or whatever the number it is, and those patents are inside your system, you are no longer ownership of you.
I should add that that's speculative in the law. I don't believe that.
Yeah, no, I'm saying your patents. You have patents.
Yes.
Yeah, you do have patents.
The claim might be made that since there's stuff in your body that they have patented, that they have some control or right to you.
That's proprietary.
Yeah, but I don't think the courts are going to put up with that. But you never know in our world. You know?
Yeah, so that's what we're looking at right now. And that's why you have to, I mean, I keep saying fight back, but it really, we just need people to wake up as fast as humanly possible. I mean, it's
one thing that's just puzzling to common sense is if you are you're putting these pseudo nanotech supposed vaccines into food, it doesn't make any sense in terms of dosage. Because things like that, if they're genuinely to be used for some medical purpose, you've got to have dosage control.
The medicine is an excuse.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? I think, again, you've been doing some really good research. Are they even mentioning the fact that it would be impossible to control dosage if people are getting it in foods?
Well, they promote this and they market this, which is a really good point. They promote it and market it on the main sites as this is a thing to help people with Parkinson's, dementia, neurological diseases. And it all looks great, right? Even I could look at that and go, okay, if we have people with a bunch of obviously neurological deficits, neurological diseases, then sure, I could understand. I could see the valid point made of let's use this stuff for good. Maybe we can bring these people back, obviously give them some quality of life so that they're, you know, because we don't want them losing, you know, their families, et cetera, because they're not there. However, it starts with that. It doesn't end with that, right? There's only so many people at
the
end
of the day.
But even
there, you would have to control the intake person's food. So it doesn't 100%. Make any sense. That's so interesting to me because I remember the very beginning of when they were experimenting with, well, probably not the very beginning. That might have been 20 years ago or so. But when they let us know they were experimenting with putting this stuff into food, I mean, that really isn't very useful unless you just want to harm people because you cannot control the dose.
Well, it's like fluoride in water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an exact parallel. It's fluoride in water or Prozac in water, which was proposed time and again.
Lithium is the one they really wanted.
But then on top of that, you know, what the fascinating part was when I read about that, about neurological diseases, I mean, it's been more and more proven all the time that, you know, somebody who does have a neurological disease typically has an abundance of heavy metals in their brain, which is actually what causes many lesions. So we want to help these people, but then we're going to throw an abundance of nanometals in there, nanoparticles, which are metal in behavior. So are we really, that's why I'm also always skeptical of what they're doing because I've read too much about, you know, they're very deceitful in what they do. They say it's for something of benevolence. And then you find out it was just to get their foot in the door.
Yeah. Wasn't AID, I do believe, was the branch of the government that was supposed to be, you know, helping the African nations and so on. And it actually became a gigantic eugenical program with sterilization. Is that AID or is it some other one?
USAID?
I know what you're talking. I don't know if it's AID, but I know what you're talking about.
I think it's USAID.
About.
It's one of those. So don't, folks, if you're going to talk about it, check it out. But one of our major aid programs became a eugenical program. They sterilized 30, according to sources I'm reading, 30% of the Puerto Rican women back in the day when they were doing this, and they sterilized a single tribe of American Native American Indians. That would be That's like that's genocide.
Yeah, they've been using eugenics programs and depopulation since, I mean, as long as we know.
It's really terrifying, folks. And it's important. One of the reasons I'm studying this now is people need to know that it isn't far-fetched what we're discovering about a global empire totalitarian movement that has no compunction and even thinks it's good to depopulate by murder and by sterilization. And if you can see that's been done again and again, because it has been done again and again, even by our own government, then you can begin to think that, all right, it's not entirely crazy that these vaccines are killing people and sterilizing them. So I'm trying to give it more and more historical, you know, generic human activity to now it's just more high tech because we have more high tech.
Yeah. No, it's I call it the Fourth Reich.
The Fourth.
I mean, it's you know, they, you know, we go back to Nazi Germany. They put people in rail cars, from what we understand, and they gassed them. And at that time, there was no technology. So obviously, if you tried that again here, we would all stand up because we just wouldn't allow it. Even the most potentially insane or the most far left or the far right, whatever, you wouldn't put up with someone being killed off like that. So what do? You have to get them to do it to themselves. And that's how you do it, through the vaccination policy. You get them to go in fear, and then you get them to run to protect themselves and the public.
And it's very important, folks, that there's nothing new here. Hitler wanted to rule the world. We fought a global empire when we fought against Nazi Germany. And then the Russians, who were supposedly our allies, they wanted to rule the world, communist ones. And then Imperial Japan wanted to rule the world.
And these were all predators.
All predatory rulers. Well, they all are. We're all big rulers.
It's a giant game of risk.
And then Mao, who grew up in the context of World War II, his legacy now is communist China, and they've always wanted to rule the world, both as a Chinese empire and a communist empire. So, I mean, what I'm trying to get across is this broader view, folks, of what we are dealing with now, first of all, is very heavily driven by communist China. We have been talking with Jason Dean. Jason, finish up a little bit about your practice. Anything else like that, and how to get in touch with you in 45 seconds.
Yeah, no, I practice in Central Florida with my wife. We have a physical practice. We also help people all over the world. That's called Palmer Natural Health. My wife's last name was Palmer before we were married. The biggest thing is braidtoyou.com. I do a podcast 5 days a week. It's live. I do it noon Eastern time. Health, freedom, and knowledge. So everything from politics to healthcare. And we sit there and we try to give people tools to help themselves in life, but also preach real healthcare every day from a nutritional standpoint, keeping the body moving.
Now, where is that?
Brave TV.
BraveTV.com.
BraveTV.com. Yeah. Thank you, sir. We'll be talking to you offline and online again.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, gosh. You are.